Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 is where we turn to in our Bibles this evening. We read the entire chapter. The text is verse 17, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. The way of the slothful man is as a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but the man of understanding walketh uprightly. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it! The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is in the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Thus far we read from the book of Proverbs chapter 15. The text is verse 17. I'll read that particular verse again. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Beloved congregation, let's dive right into our text this evening and consider it under the theme, the goodness of a dinner of herbs. We'll notice in the first place the meaning of this proverb, in the second place the reasons for it, and in the third and final place its blessed confession and application. The truth of the goodness of a dinner of herbs underlies the teaching of this proverb. What, though, is its meaning? Well, let's start with the very first word of the text, better. That word, better, points out some hard truths which we do well to consider. And the specific thing that it points to is that of a common but faulty practice among believers. A common but faulty practice of dividing things up into two parts, just as the world does. The practice is to classify and call one part of all the things which we like good. And it is to classify and call the things which we dislike bad. And arising from that, what we end up doing is to give thanks only for the good. That is to say, what we like, what we deem to be good. And what do we do with the bad? Well, at best, we grin and bear it, so to speak. We behave like those ancient philosophers, like the philosophers from ancient Greece called Stoics. We bear a Stoic attitude. We adopt a stone-like look upon our faces. Our faces are like flint, so that we are bearing it. And perhaps for some of these Stoics, they are even able to conjure up an external smile to go with that Stoic attitude. That's at best. At worst, we are just like the world around us. We look at those things which we dislike with bitterness. And being believers, we who believe in God will look at God and think harsh thoughts of Him. And, or at best, or we will sweep them, all these things, under the rug and pretend that these realities aren't there when we are interacting with Him in prayer and interacting with one another. Oh, we still give thanks to God, all right. We do. But we only give thanks for what we call good. A good job, good health, good income, a good, beautiful house or houses, good vehicle, and we leave out all the rest which we deem to be non-good. Doing so, we end up with a serious problem. And that is because this is not how we are to behave according to the Word of God. Not so. Everything we receive from the Father of lights is good. There is no shadow of turning in him. The Apostle James tells us that in James chapter 1. And that is because all things work together for good for those who love him, for those who are the called according to his purpose. The Apostle Paul tells us that under inspiration in Romans chapter 8. All things work together for good. And all is all. Not only when we have much earthly goods and possessions, but also when we have less. Not only when we are living through happy times, but also through not so happy times. When all things are peaceful, and as well also when we are in distress. We are called by the Word of God implicitly here in our text in Proverbs and explicitly in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 specifically to give thanks to God and rejoice in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. And then verse 18, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now understand, beloved, that those three injunctions go together. They are not random instructions that the Apostle Paul just pulled out of the air to make a good ending to the epistle of 1 Thessalonians. They are God's word, God's inspired word, and the three belong together. For there is no true thanksgiving when we are not truly joyful. Oh yes, there can be true joy also in the midst of distress. True joy is not dependent on external circumstances. So there is no true thanksgiving when we are not truly joyful. And indeed, prayer is the chief part of thankfulness for the believer. But we can't truly heed the command to pray and to pray without ceasing without a true and joyful spirit of thankfulness in our hearts. A thankfulness to God for everything. Everything. And everything includes certainly the two kinds of meals that we find here set forth in the text before us. Two meals which are of striking contrast one to the other. One is a dinner meal consisting of a stalled ox. The ox, of course, refers to a cow, so that the family that is gathered together for a meal of the stalled ox is gathered together for a yummy, savory meal of beef. Whatever be your favorite part of the cow, whether you fancy sirloin steak or another cut of the cow, or else your favorite part of the cow is not the meat itself, but the intestines, the tongue, the liver, there you have it. All of it may be found in the meal that is before you in that ox. Furthermore, we are told that this is a stalled ox. And that tells us that this animal has been carefully fed, carefully raised, and carefully looked after for one singular dedicated purpose. The purpose of a yummy-licious, savory meal of beef. We may, of course, on this national season of national holiday of Thanksgiving, broaden that idea to a meal with a wonderful turkey, filled with our favorite turkey stuffing. Or if some of us don't fancy a turkey, a beautiful piece of ham. And still further, we can broaden it out to the foods which we like in season, out of season, at any time of our lives. Being a meal at Panera Bread, at Chick-fil-A, or your favorite downtown restaurant in Grand Rapids. You name it, the idea is there in those words, stalled ox. You get the picture. And then, standing in contrast to that meal is a dinner of herbs. That word herbs, of course, refers to vegetables. And very likely in the case of our text, this is referring to vegetables that are picked from the garden around the house, implying a family which doesn't have much, which is poor in the eyes of the world, which could not even afford to go out to buy those vegetables. There is that family gathered together to eat a dinner of herbs, which really doesn't amount to much, does it? Not according to the judgment of the world, but indeed, it is much in the judgment of God. Both meals are to be given thanks to God for, and both are good in the judgment of God, and particularly so when it is contrasted by the strikingly different attitudes found at the dinner tables. The one family with the dinner of herbs, having relatively less, we are told, is in an environment where love is. And the other family, having relatively much more, is, on the other hand, eating in an environment where there is hatred. Love and hatred. First, love. That's that family, the father, the mother, and the children. That family not having much in earthly wealth, but they have one thing in their possession which is most, most precious. Love. And that's not an earthly love, a love of the world. This, beloved, is true love. Heavenly love. Love from heaven above, poured out into their hearts. A love that is patient. A love that is kind. A love that is forgiving. A love that is forbearing. And also, Romans chapter 8 reminds us, a love which is inseparable, everlasting, abiding, which will never, never be lost, never be broken, not by principalities, not by powers, not by life, not by death, not by things present, not by things to come. Nothing in heaven or earth. There is true love for one another in that family around the meal table. There is true love in their hearts for God because this family has experienced the wonderful grace, faith, and salvation of God that is in Christ Jesus in their lives. That's the one family, love. And the other one, the other family with a wonderful meal of a stalled ox before them, what's it like before them? There's only hatred. Though the family is gathered together to eat, there is not a real togetherness. The family members are not close to each other. They bear grudges against one another. There is anger. There is anger, there is bitterness, and there is even resentment in their hearts. They are gathered together, all right. They are united, but they are united only in an outward, external manner. There is, in reality, strife and division within their hearts. And that is because there is no true love, but only hatred. Hatred for one another, because the love of God that is in Christ Jesus is not in their heart, is not in their soul, is not in their mind. The meal may be ever so sumptuous, and the smell of the food may be ever so great, but there is no real joy, and there is no true thanksgiving in their hearts. And very clearly and emphatically, the Word of God gives His judgment regarding the goodness of a dinner of herbs in those environments. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. That one, that meal with a dinner of herbs where love is better. It's far, far better. And the other, that meal where the husband and the wife are at odds with each other, where there is infighting among the children and siblings, and infighting between parents and children, that meal is of no real value. One is truly precious and good, and the other is of no real value. What are the reasons for this? Two reasons this evening. The first one being this, and most obviously, because God most wise have spoken it. This is God's wise saying. Now, besides the striking and wise saying of our text, consider some other striking wise sayings that are found in the Word of God. And our Lord Jesus spoke plenty of them during His earthly ministry, and I point out just a couple of them for us tonight. Children, are you listening? The first one is for you. The foolish man buildeth the house upon the sand, but the wise man buildeth his house upon the rock. That means that a foolish person builds his entire life on the wisdom of man, on the things and stuff of this earth, the philosophies of man, the wisdom of man, the practices of man that are popular. But the wise man builds his house upon a rock, the rock and foundation of the Word, and therefore wisdom of God. Then in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, where it's recorded the parable of the rich fool, the fool there is wanting to build barns, more barns, to store and to hog and to hog his earthly possessions for himself. And he was reminded by Jesus of the folly for doing so. We read in verse 19 there of what he said to himself. He says, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now contrast that to what God has to say, the wise God has to say in verse 20. In contrast, listen to the wise God, Most High, speaking. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Still more, we do well to point out the rather striking and wise sayings leading up to our text in Proverbs chapter 15. Many wise, striking sayings. First of all, there are the wise sayings of the wise tongue. Verse 1, right from the get-go in Proverbs 15, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Now pay attention to the word soft. Since there is much communication around us and among us, and also with people who have left us, we do well to give heed to the wise instruction regarding the tongue here. A soft answer turneth away wrath. A soft answer is not a weak answer. A soft answer is a strong answer. It's a meek answer. And meekness is not weakness. A soft answer is a meek answer, and it's a strong answer also because it's an answer that's taken into consideration the knowledge of the Word of God. And as well also the knowledge of the situation, the knowledge of the hearers of those words he is about to speak. There's consideration for them. So that there's an adaptation of God's knowledge to that situation. There is wisdom, and wisdom comes forth in that situation with a soft answer. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. It doesn't use knowledge aright, it abuses that knowledge, it twists that knowledge, it falsifies that knowledge, it is malicious in its behavior. That's foolishness. Verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. How needful our communications and our speech be, that it be edifying unto our hearers. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. It brings health to those who hear our words. Then there is also the wisdom of the wise sayings for regarding the wise and foolish son. Children, are you listening? Verse 5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Verse 10, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. One who forsakes the way purposefully, correction is grievous. And he that hateth reproof, that's a warning right there. He that hateth reproof shall die. Verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. And then there are the wise sayings which are in closest relationship to our text pertaining to joy, cheerfulness, and a merry heart. Verse 13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Verse 14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Verse 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Verse 16, better is little with the fear of the Lord. It all begins there, doesn't it? The fear of the Lord in our hearts. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. And then comes our text. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. People of God, do we not see the sovereign wisdom of our God here in this saying? This, beloved, is the wise word of God. And the only way to perceive it as such and to receive it as such, as the wise saying of God's good word for us and to treasure it, is the way of faith and salvation. And that leads us to the second reason for the goodness and wisdom of this proverb of God's word. We deem it to be good, and we can only deem it to be good and wise only when we have received faith, grace, and salvation from him. A salvation that is from God through his Son and his cross. Seeing the goodness and wisdom of this proverb begins with seeing the goodness of the cross. Not for them, but for me. Being shown our need for the cross as sinners. God working grace in our hearts so that we behold that cross of Jesus Christ and see it as good for us. It begins there. And from there, we are able to see the goodness of God. In this wise saying, in that event, and that wise saying, even this saying, which we consider tonight. The unbelieving and the ungodly cannot truly see it nor say it, because for him there will never be contentment. Even after there's a stalled ox on his meal table, he'll go for more and more and more and never find peace and contentment for himself. Only he who has his eyes opened and his heart opened by God understands and experiences the goodness of God, even in times of distress. Such, beloved, were the cries of the sweet psalmist recorded in the book of Psalms. Two instances when the psalmist's life was under threat in Psalm 34, and when he was in distress in Psalm 27. In Psalm 34, verse 8, when his life was under threat, he says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And then in Psalm 27, verse 13, I had fainted. unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He has been given eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to confess the very truths, good truths of the Word of God. We have that, don't we? Do we not therefore confess the truth of this proverb tonight? I know that the times and circumstances of our lives may not be helpful for us in this regard. But that's not the question. The question is, do we see the goodness of the Lord in our lives? When we have much, but also when we have less. When we are in good health, and also when we are in ill health. Do we see the goodness of the Lord in happy times and also in times of distress? At bottom, it all boils down to this. Do we know in our heart of hearts that the things of God, which cannot be seen, the invisible things of God pertaining to His covenant and kingdom and His wonderful virtues of peace, holiness, kindness, forgiveness, and the like, these things are the things that are truly valuable. Do we know that? And everything else which we can see with our eyes, which are earthly things, which are our favorite things to have and enjoy, the stalled ox, the rump roast, the roast duck, our favorite vehicle, the earthly activities which we find pleasure in, those things will fade away. The only things that last and abide forever are the invisible things of God, the perfect righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, and all the wonderful spiritual virtues which He graciously imparts to us. Peace, love, holiness, forgiveness, forbearance, and as well also the means by which God operates to work these blessings in us. The preaching of God's word, the instruction of our young ones at catechism classes, office bearers, God-fearing office bearers, qualified men who are willing to serve in the offices. In the church where the Spirit of Jesus Christ truly rules and abides, we enjoy the riches of union and communion with Him and union and communion with one another in Jesus Christ. Oh, there be faults. There always will be. The church on earth is not perfect. We look for the ideal church, the church where the means of grace are faithfully dispensed and served and used. And we look for good order in the churches, and we look for that word to be ministered faithfully unto us. Anyone here still doubting the goodness of God in his or her life? Look at that cross again. If God was willing to give you the extreme gift, to make the extreme sacrifice of giving His Son for you, what good will He withhold from you? It is in this way that we are led to confess the goodness of God in our lives and give joyful thanks unto Him for all things. It is also in this way then we are led to personally make the blessed confession of our text and apply it specifically to our lives. Let each one of us here this evening confess from our hearts, "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith." Let us have the thoughts of our hearts and minds renewed unto the treasuring and cherishing of the things of heaven above, so that we seek them and not the things of the earth. In that way, let there be true joy and a spirit of prayer and continued reliance and dependence upon our God. Then also, let there be applied to us a spirit of true thanksgiving, true and joyful thanksgiving, not only on the occasion of the national holiday of Thanksgiving, when we have an abundance to celebrate with, but also every day of our pilgrim life, knowing and confessing the goodness of God as He leads and guides us with heavenly manner all through the way, leading and guiding us on our pilgrim journey safely to our heavenly home. Amen. Lord, bless this word and cause us, O Lord, to be renewed in our hearts and minds of what truly is precious and good. May we give heed to the wise instruction of thy word found here in this text, and as well too in the other neighboring texts that are brought up in the course of the sermon. Grant, O Lord, thy blessing. Forgive us of our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.